Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me today, here to encourage you in the studio, is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Also, our sidekick, you know him as Chris Cat, Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. We're excited to be with you today. We have a fantastic program talking about humanoids. Humanoids. Interesting. We're going to be talking about the final last words. Final last words. We're still sharing on the fear of the Lord. That's something that does not get old.
Never.
We want to welcome all of our friends on Facebook from all over the world. Thank you. We have now reached 30,000 friends on Facebook.
Awesome.
Continue to spread the light. Did you guys hear that? 30,000.
30.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, they're coming from all over the world. We're so excited about what's happening and all the reports that we're hearing and how people are liking and sharing and communicating. I'll tell you, we are doing this together. We are in one big giant conversation, and it just feels so awesome and feels so right. And for such a time as this, I'm so, so excited. But I know that yesterday I was hearing something about some enchiladas. Now, Chris, now, when you left the studio yesterday, Pat,
did you miss me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Well, let me see.
What, did you
this.
Need some backup?
Yeah,
man?
I needed backup.
Oh, yesterday. Man, what did he do to you? Man? What happened?
You know, there is a commercial. There's a commercial.
Oh, the commercial. Great.
There is a commercial.
You have a mute button.
I've noticed.
I do have the button.
I've noticed that Chris is visiting a certain restaurant quite often during the lunch break. During the lunch break, there is a visit. There's a certain bag that we're familiar with that keeps coming.
Oh, yeah. I know that bag.
Yeah.
And I'm looking over there. And I have a new slogan. I'm not going to release it yet. There's a new slogan for that commercial coming out soon. You might be listening to VFN Radio. But I heard a story about some enchiladas, the beginning of a story. What is this enchilada business? Because you didn't have enchiladas yesterday. But what happened?
No, I didn't. It would have been nice, but, you know, considering what happened. Yes, as a matter of fact, over the weekend, while
you were making fun of my dog.
Well, that's very easy to do.
We were videoing and taking pictures.
You know why that happened, right?
Do tell.
I'm not saying, you know. I'm just saying, though.
Right. So I'm in the office, in my office, and I'm, you know, trying to finish up some work, and all of a sudden I hear this scream.
Okay. Well, there was
a noise before the scream.
The rumbling.
Yeah, there was a rumbling before the scream. You know, I didn't know what it was, but then so I hear this huge crash, and then I hear this scream, and so I run out of my office and into the kitchen, and there are enchiladas everywhere.
What? An explosion of enchiladas.
An explosion had taken place in the kitchen.
Oh my goodness! What happened?
And I found myself, as I ran in to save the day, surrounded by 1,000 pieces of broken glass.
Oh my goodness.
Not only was there broken glass, but there was enchilada juice everywhere.
Oh, nasty.
Oh, my goodness.
Did your house smell like one big taco?
Oh, it was one big taco. Right. And, well, apparently somebody was boiling some water and removed the pot and did not turn off the burner.
Oh,
and you
no.
know that cookware, I don't know, it's called Pyrex or something. Anyways, it's glass cookware.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Marjane.
We're great in the oven.
Yeah, my wife was making. Well, my wife had made these awesome enchiladas. You know, she does such a wonderful job. And she was like, man, this has got to be my best batch ever because it just looked beautiful.
You know, that was it. She bragged on it.
Yeah, you could have taken a picture of it and put it in the cookbook, you know. And, well, apparently, you know, she had taken them out of the oven and set them on the stove and on top of this burner.
Oh,
but she
that was still
was
on.
Oh, wow. Bless her.
And
explosion.
And there was a huge explosion.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was just, it was, there was glass everywhere. I mean,
did anybody get hurt?
Well, I did cut my toe when I ended up in the middle of all this glass.
Oh my goodness. Where are shoes in the house? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Exploding enchiladas. I'm sorry we didn't have a chance to taste any. I noticed that all this wonderful cooking that your wife makes, it doesn't see the light of the studio. Is there any particular reason that there aren't any leftovers to share with brothers?
Well, you know, it's so good.
It just leaves us out.
Yeah.
Leaves us out.
Yeah. Well, that's how he rolls, though.
Was this in between the Francis was taking down Sandra or Samson?
Speaking of dogs, and
yes,
I hear of a story that about your daughter and your
very cute story.
Funny,
very cute story. My, you know, I have the Doberman. That's Diesel. The you know, my nice. I love Diesel.
Mm-hmm. Obedient dog.
Very obedient. Very obedient. Well, we recently had an addition, the poodle. So my little girl, I don't know if she doesn't understand that the dog doesn't talk back. He barks. I don't understand what her mindset is here. But my son and I were talking in the living room, and all of a sudden he points over to her who's across the living room, and she's having this conversation with Sonny the poodle as she is combing Sonny's hair with the comb. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's just combing away. It's like, where do they get this? It's like she's 3 years old. Mm-hmm. But they start, I guess, young, playing with dolls and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the dog is sitting there letting her comb his big floppy ears.
He's probably loving life.
Oh, my goodness. And she's just having a conversation. And she'll try to pick him up, but she's like kind of dragging him. I'm thinking, oh, no, she's going to crush a bone or something, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's hilarious, but dogs have a way of just cheering up the environment, you know. It's just I wish a long time ago I was able to get a dog for my dad. Mm-hmm. Really would have helped them out a long time. You know, folks that are going through illnesses and are suffering, and sometimes the elderly, a nice companion. I mean, a dog's a great, great companion. A well-behaved dog is a great companion.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. They're so cool. They're obedient. They listen. You take them around.
At least most, anyway.
Yeah, they're really cool. You got to find the right one. You got to find the right one. If you find the right one, you'd be a good partner there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, guys, I don't know if you know this, there is a massive heat wave going on in New York. I'm not missing that right now, although some sunlight would be nice. I mean,
yeah, right.
We are supposedly in the sunshine belts here somewhere, but some sunshine and some sun
would
be nice.
We haven't seen the light of day in a couple months.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Where is the sun? Is it still out? Well, we know where it has left. It is now in New York, in the region. But you got to listen to this. There is a heat wave, 100 degrees. Remember what's going on the West Coast. Now the East Coast is getting a touch of this. You got to listen to what ABC News has to say.
Welcome to this week, which is historically the hottest week of the year, but tonight is off the charts. Thanks to this sweltering dome of heat sitting on top of 10 states from Michigan to Massachusetts to Maryland. And tonight, ABC's meteorologist Ginger Z tracks down the people who are out in the hottest jobs.
Temperatures will steam into the 90s all week with heat indices above 100. That means you'll be seeing these classic images, like the kids in the sprinkler, the nameless man on the street declaring,
I've been feeling hot.
That cliche shot of the sizzling summer sun. But come on, it's July, and this week and next are the hottest climatologically of the year. So what's the big deal?
The big deal is heat kills an average of 119 people every year.
Wow.
Last year, 155 people died because of heat. A majority were male and over the age of 55. Most were in homes without air conditioning. So we set out to see how quickly heat affects the human body.
Now, my expertise ends when we talk about how hot it's going to get. And what it does to a human body, I have no idea. So I brought in Dr. Jennifer Ashton.
We tested Sheila Ashcraft, a postal worker who works for at least 5 hours during the hottest part of the day.
So this is giving us Sheila's heart rate, which you can see is in the 120s.
which is really consistent with exercise.
Another test you can do.
And you can just pinch this skin here. And you're pretty well hydrated. We call it tenting.
If the skin doesn't snap back, you could be dehydrated. To stay safe, take Dr. Ashton's advice.
So the first thing is, if you can modify your activity to be more indoors than outdoors, do so. If you can take frequent breaks in cool environments and staying well hydrated.
Dr. Ashton also told me that if you're going to be outside for a long period of time in this heat this week, you have to have not just water, but alternate with a sports drink that has electrolytes. Just don't overdo it on the sugar because that can actually dehydrate you more. And keep them cold. That will cool that core temperature. I have to show you how hot it's going to stay, and that's the word I'm going to use throughout the week. New York City was 94 today, but look at these numbers for cities like New York City staying in the 90s. Washington, D.C. peaks at 97 Wednesday, but it comes right back to 98 on Thursday. And remember, it's not just the numbers, Chicago, Kansas City included there. It's the feels likes, too. It'll feel like it's above 100 for a lot of these folks for the next 5 days.
My goodness, New York, I am feeling your pain. It is hot outside. We talked about that Northeast heat. Boy, that asphalt starts getting hot. You're in trouble, man.
That's probably the worst kind of heat.
Oof, it's like oven humidity hot. I mean,
trying to melt your shoes.
Oh, man, it is hot. Well, listen, cool off, get in the shade. And listen, 119 people die every year. It's easy to happen. You know, I had some relatives that lived in Las Vegas, and they were saying, man, when it gets hot out there, you got to make sure you stay inside and, like, carry a jug of water because people are passing out all over the place.
Right.
So, you know, if you're working outside, have compassion for those that are laboring outside.
Oh, I do.
In the heat. Make sure that you cool yourself off. Nice to get a nice one of those wet rags and kind of put it on the back of your neck because you don't want to pass out. And don't forget to look after the elderly. A lot of times, you know, they're used to taking care of others and they're not used to really taking care of themselves or looking after themselves. So watch out for them and make sure that they're cool and they have got something to drink and keep them out of the sun and keep them indoors with the ACs on. Thank the Lord for some AC.
Amen.
Amen to that. You know, we've been talking about technology and all different things that have been happening in advancement. And we've talked about how they're making artificial organs and growing skin. Well, here, the day of RoboCop, I don't know, this is an old school movie. I don't know, how many, 20 years? I don't know how long that movie
is. A long time ago.
I was a youngster. But in that movie, the very little I remember, I don't even remember, it was a good one, so no disclaimer here, BC before Christ days. But there was like a robot and man or some sort of humanoid. It was like he was a cop, he was a patrol person, and he was a robot, and it was this latest technology. And as a kid, you're watching this thinking, oh man, the future, that's gonna be so cool. Folks, I think the future has arrived. DARPA unveils one of the world's most advanced humanoid robots. This robot, Pat and Chris, he's 6'2", weighs 330 pounds, according to Fox here, and has arms that stretch wider than a car. Okay? The defense contractors basically on Thursday of last week unveiled one of the most advanced humanoid robots ever built as part of their virtual robotic challenge. This is amazing. They say the giants are controlled by a human operator who guides the sensors, hydraulics, and limbs through the range of natural motions. This is the military saying this, okay? This is a military combat robot. This is to be prepared for war, okay? He can walk upstairs, stay upright after getting hit with heavy weights. Now, we do have a video that has no sound, so we won't want to play it on air, but we will put it for you in the torch. But listen to this. It has heavy weights and climbs over and around obstacles in his path and ultimately boosts the ability of first responders in a disaster scenario. As they say, he may ultimately do that. But they show in the video, like, this 20-pound medicine ball bag, like a pendulum swinging, trying to knock this robot off, and it just doesn't knock him off of his walk.
Right.
He's walking this huge 6'2", 330-pound humanoid robot's walking, and they put like a 2x4 on the floor, steps right over it.
Yeah. Or avoids it.
Or avoid, yeah, so he just sidestepped it. I mean, this is amazing, amazing what this technology is doing. And, I mean, there's so many components that we had to really start thinking about, oh, my goodness, the future. What does this entail? We're sending robots to war and fight and the human factor here. And yeah. What if these
drones?
Drones?
I mean, come on.
I mean, we are living in definite Jetsons era here, but
yeah.
It opens up a whole other can of worms of, my goodness, you know, who's controlling these things and where are they going to be aimed mm-hmm. at? And what if this stuff misfires and has an electrical, you know, meltdown and it starts attacking like some of the stuff you see in the movies? I mean, really, you got to think about it. They're making them. They're making them. And you're going to see over the next 5 years, Ray Kurzweil, who's basically created, found out and studied the mind. He's a futurist, an inventor. A lot of his predictions about the future and technology have been well documented and they've come to pass. He actually leads up a scientific department there for Google now that they actually created a mind, a robotic mind, software, I think, after they've studied the mind. And he wrote a book, How to Create a Mind.
Wow.
And what they're trying to do is connect, you know, computers and technology that actually think like humans. I mean, we're going to be so dependent, they're saying, on this technology that when you go to turn off the computer, it's going to talk back to you and say, please don't turn me off. I mean, think about that. Please right. don't turn me off. And you're starting to get introduced to that slightly with the notifications on your phone. Right now, you get a little notification if someone posts something on Facebook or you get a text or your app does something or you have a reminder. A notification is a text or an alarm signifying to you that something's happening in your world, whether it's someone put a comment on your Facebook or, like I said, for Pat, it'll bling when he has to go and do his 25 sit-ups real quick. You know, he'll get up and do those. And
yeah, I'll just keep snoozing that one.
Well, all those things happen, but can you imagine when actual voice starts activating?
Mm-hmm.
I asked Siri a question the other day on my iPhone, and she talked back. I was like, I don't like that. You know, really weird. Mm-hmm. But this is what it's going to, and just opens up a whole can of worms. But listen, technology is good as long as we use it for good. And technology is amoral, neither good or bad. It all depends how you use it. And we really have to be alert and be open. I mean, at some point, I would imagine it would be definitely time to get off the grid. We're almost at that point now. But there's so many things that are out there. It's only going to be, I mean, at exponential growth right now, it's just going to absolutely explode. I mean, you're going to have so much technology and doing so many different things and helping so many people that it's just going to be more advanced and more commonplace. And not everything that's going to be technologically advanced and easier for you to do is going to be good. Did you know this? Listen, they're going to get rid of bank tellers one day. I mean, I have your bank teller. I'm sorry. I hope this doesn't happen to you, but listen, I don't go to the bank much. I don't do these things, but I had an opportunity to go deposit this check at an ATM.
Uh-huh.
Write the check out, fill the information out, insert deposit, and man, that thing's available immediately. Mm. I was shocked. I'm thinking, you gotta be kidding. I mean, without a human interaction.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So you're seeing all these different things happen. You just want to be alert, and we just want to be on the upfront of everything that's going on, because if we're not careful, you can be taken away in technology into a path that you did not want to go and open all sorts of doors for evil. And you got to look at how to protect your family, because all that glitters is not gold, and all that's great in technology may not be great in terms of God, the kingdom, and what you know you're trying to do as you raise your family.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Can you lose your job for referring to your faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Out of the blue here all of a sudden last Wednesday morning, here comes my boss walking into one of the stores I was in, and he goes, I'm going to have to let you go. And I said, for what? And he said, harassment. You can't tell people that if you're not religious, you're going to go to H-E-L-L. And I said, I didn't say any of that.
Yeah, let me tell you this. You can't be fired for your faith, and it had to be documented. There was this attempt a few years ago to create what was called a religious-free zone at the workplace, but that did not come into fruition. And we beat those guidelines back. So, again, that's an overreaction. Let me get you in touch also with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get you some help. And, by the way, great resources, Gary, on our website. The On the Issues section, when you go there, right there on the website, has a whole section about workplace and what you can and cannot do. But since you've been terminated here, let me get you in touch with our lawyers.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. Chris, I need a recipe for crow stew, and you can get a chance to research that for me. I need to create that, because
crow stew.
Someone's going to be tasting that.
Are we
that
on a
soon.
Diet now? What's going on?
Well, it'll be coming shortly, and we will report about it on VFN Radio. Listen.
Coming soon.
Listen, just when you thought that all of the buried treasures were all found, just when you thought it could not happen again, do you know that apparently some gold coins have been found on the coast of Florida? They said the Blaze is reporting that 1715, a treasure fleet from the Queen Jewel's Salvage Company made the discovery of a lifetime over the weekend in recovering dozens of gold coins from a legendary shipwreck in 1715.
Wow.
They say, according to CNN, the coins, called escudos, were part of the treasure aboard a fleet of 11 Spanish galleons wrecked by a hurricane off the Florida coast July 31st, 1715.
Wow.
It was this famous shipwreck that gave this part of Florida its nickname, the Treasured Coast. Imagine that.
Who knew that?
Listen to this. 48 coins have been valued roughly somewhere between $200,000 and $250,000. I'm surprised a whole not, you know.
Yeah, it's probably
more.
Not more than that.
Yeah. But he says he cautioned the work isn't diving until you see a big galleon on its side with treasure chests overflowing. I guess if people are going down there and trying to think if they can get. Is that why you got into diving? Were you trying to?
No.
Okay. No treasures down there.
No.
But man, that's amazing. What happens when people get down and they have pictures and all sorts of stuff that we'll make available for you. But what they're hoping says, we hope that the recovery of these historic artifacts will help educate people about the Spanish colonization of the New World on the high seas. And just talk about all the different, you know, coins and stuff they've been able to recover. But it's absolutely amazing what they have found. And I just think about, man, treasure, you know? Your treasure is there, or your heart is also, but you think about all this buried treasure. That's to me amazing. I'm like a history buff. I love to to listen and find all these things that happen, and just to think about all the things that people were able to do before technology. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, how did you build that boat? Or think about they put this wood boat out to sea, you know, and the craftsmanship is like, you know, I'm trying to build something. I'm mad at Home Depot don't have the nails or something. You know, it's like, where are these guys?
Where are these toenails at? I can't find them.
Exactly. I can't find these toenails. And, but it's amazing. I love to see how people lived in a simpler day, because who knows, we may go back to that day.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just really amazing. And I thought that was a cool story, because just when you think that it's over, just when you think it can't be done anymore, there's always a huge surprise right around the corner. Another historic, I mean, how many times has that been said? A treasure to be found. And again, things that we see, you know, depicted on a screen someday, it's really happening in real life. And when I think about that, I think about, you know, treasures, and I think about Joshua in the Bible, and I think about last words. You know, you've heard people say famous last words, right? And typically those words are given when someone is dying, or they're transitioning. They're coming to an end of a season in their life, maybe a career, a job or something, and people get on the table or speech, and they're about to make their exit, or again, they're about to pass away, or they're about to pass a baton. When you talk about famous last words, and I think about Joshua, was a faithful leader, assistant to Moses, took over when Moses passed away, and Moses passed the torch to Joshua. And in Joshua 23, verse 1, it reads like this. It says, after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. Like, guys, we've been here for a long time. Gathered them all together. We've done a lot. We've been through a lot. God showed us a lot. We've been victorious. And he begins to say, you yourselves have seen everything. You have seen everything. Everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. And you know, you think about Joshua and the Israelites and all the battles that they had, you know, during that period of time. I mean, they were taking the land. They were taking the land. They were going and going and going and going. I don't list all the battles, but I mean, they were, it was a continual fight to possess what God had for them to possess. You know, when God has something for you, it's just not going to, you have to go out there and possess it. You got to take it. You got to go out there and move with the vision that God's giving you. It's just not going to fall in your lap. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, I haven't seen it happen that way.
Right.
And I don't think the Bible says that, you know, or shows that by example. So Joshua, I mean, he's ending it all here. He's bringing them all together. He's old, and this is like his farewell. He's putting it all on the line. He says, listen, this is, don't forget, God. God is the one that fought for you. And you can come to a place in your life where you've been successful, you've been through some valleys and some dips, you've conquered, you've won, you've done well. And it's amazing that how easy it could happen to folks where, in the beginning, you didn't know anything. You couldn't do nothing. No one would give you a shot or a chance or a break. You were a nobody, if you will, you know, in terms of being recognized. That, you know, people say, well, I was a nobody. Nobody knew me, so to speak. You're always somebody in God. And all of a sudden, you made it. And then you started taking credit But what God did, that you couldn't do your, you couldn't even tie your shoes without God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't tie your shoes without God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing that Joshua tells him, points it back to God and said, listen, you have seen with your own eyes how God has fought for you. And he talks about inheritance and how the Lord, your God himself, will continue to drive them away and just starts speaking, you know, encouragement to them. And then in verse 6, he goes on to say, be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. And when I read that, it just hit me because I just remembered
mm-hmm.
that the book of Joshua starts off the same way. You know, Joshua didn't arrive to a place by accident. He arrived to that place on purpose. God had direction and vision for Joshua right from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember in Joshua 1, I mean, this is what he's telling them now. Things I've learned. You're coming to the end of your life. You're coming to the end of your transition. The season in your life is over, and you have famous, these are the last words I want to impart and share. And all this whole time together is to tell you this. One is that you didn't do this. God did this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it twisted. And the second thing is, be very strong. He wasn't telling them to be strong in your strength, your physical strength, but be strong in God, in your character, on what's on the inside. And be careful to obey all that is written without turning aside to the right or to the left. And I think, wow, Joshua gives them the same instruction. The same instruction that God told Joshua when he first started out as a young one.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Joshua 1, verse 6, well, in verse 1, you hear that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses may have, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. So Joshua, he experienced on the first hand a passing of a way, a passing of a torch. There was a transition. There was a time of period where Moses did all that he could do to fulfill and do what God's called him to do in his generation. And a torch was passed. And when that torch was passed, that transition, that season was over. This is what the Lord told Joshua. He said, be strong and courageous because you would lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you and do not turn from the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Oftentimes people today are trying to find success. They're trying to find out how to make it happen. What do I need to do? And Joshua's reminding them at his last words, his parting words, he's telling them the very thing that God told him in Joshua 1 in the mm-hmm. beginning was, listen, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Let me tell you that the number one ingredient that he was trying to let them know is that, hey, one, God did this, and two, if you want to see success in your life and you want to go on and do what God's, you know, called you to do, if you want to be fruitful, you want to be successful, you need to obey God's word.
Right.
You know, success does not come without obedience. It may look nice, you know, and on the surface, but it doesn't mean that God gave you that success.
Right.
May not be real success. It's important. The important thing that he shares with them, listen, it's not about all of this. These are my last words. I need to tell you that you need what? You need to have to know that God is the one that did this. You need to have humility. And you need to obey God's word. You need to obey the law. You need to obey it. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be successful. In verse 8, he says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Listen, the key to success and the key to moving on with God and doing the things is obedience. You can't separate success from obedience. God has called us to live an obedient life. And the way we know obedience is by knowing God's word. When you think about someone's passing away, and I had a chance, by the way, to meet someone, a great young man whose father just actually passed away not too long ago, and we're in his home and talking and just had a really great just conversation. It's really encouraging to see somebody that, you know, that had their goals and just really appreciative for what their parents had done. And he was really shaken up that his father died at a young age. Mm-hmm. And when you think about when people pass away, oftentimes, you know, their treasured possessions are really so important. You know, some people say, oh, I kind of want dad's tie, or I always wanted that little thing that dad always had, or mom, or whoever thing, you know, mm-hmm. person is. And some of these things have real monetary value. It could be as expensive as a vehicle or a house or, you know, a piece of furniture. Or some of it may not be monetarily valuable, but it's sentimental, mm-hmm. it's emotional, and it has a high value in your own heart. When you think about it, what's the greatest thing that you possess? What's the greatest thing, the most value you possess in your home that you could give to someone? What's the most? I mean, talking about all the things. I mean, America's got some stuff. I mean, we got more stuff in our storage than some people have their home. We have air conditioned for our storage. Climate control. Our junk is better taken care of than some people around the world. Mm-hmm. So we have some stuff now. But of all the stuff and the things, what is the most valuable thing that you possess? When I think about it, I would say, it's my Bible. Would it be your Bible? I mean, the most valuable thing that you possess. This is something that I touch every single day. Mm-hmm. And I live my life by it every day, by the grace of God.
Right.
And you think about that, if there was a fire and you would to only get one item out of your home, would you run in to go get the flat screen? Would you run in to get some jewelry? Would you run in to get those favorite pair of shoes? If you could only grab one thing, what would you grab? I don't want to get my Bible. Yeah, sure, I can look at it on electronics or whatever, but I want my Bible. I want my Bible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want my Bible. But the Word of God is valuable to those who treasure. We talked about a buried gold that was just found off of the seashore of Florida, 1715. Shipwreck from a Spanish fleet, and it had value. But what's valuable to you? Listen, the Word of God has to be valuable to you. How can you obey what you don't know? How can you treasure what you don't read? How can you treasure what you don't look at? There was a story of a woman who left a Bible to a loved one, and she was really wealthy. And they said, mm-hmm. The person said, all I got was a Bible. And I was like, I got a Bible. And they got a note that said, read this every day, mm-hmm. and you'll be blessed. And as I understand this story, and they didn't look at it. Well, later mm-hmm. on, this Bible, I believe, as I remember the story being told, was sold or something at a yard sale, and somebody picked it up. And when they thumbed through the pages and they started opening and reading it, there were dollar bills stuck all in between the Bible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and if you think about it, oh my goodness, why didn't you open the book? Why didn't you open the Bible? You didn't think it was valuable.
Wow.
You didn't think it was valuable. Somebody else bought it, and they thought it was valuable and picked it up, and it was, you know, some monetary value. But let me tell you, this far more, it's more valuable because there was some money in it. That's just a story. It's the way to life. It's the way of obedience. It's the way of honoring God. It's the way to connect to God. It's the way to love God. It's not a motivational book like we talked about yesterday. It's an operational manual. It's how you can learn to operate in God's kingdom and in relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's the instruction book to life, to yourself. It's everything. And it's not just a book. It's a living book. And when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about Jesus' last words and what the disciples needed to gather as they were talking about last words and what matters most.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Think about this. If you haven't seen R.A. Dickey, R.A. Dickey is on the VFN TV blog. And John had a chance. Some of you caught this on Monday. He had a chance with Isaiah and Elijah, who are baseball fans, the New York Mets, to be able to spend some moments with him. And his testimony now is available, John, on the VFN TV blog.
I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yes, I saw that.
And tell us what happened there.
Well, it's pretty cool. You know, R.A. Dickey is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a tremendous testimony. I mean, what God has done in his life is just absolutely amazing. He wrote a new book. You can get it, I'm sure, in all the bookstores. It has a very long title, but you can go to VFNTV.com and go to the blog, and you can get the title. But
well, it's called R.A. Dickey, Wherever I Wind Up.
Yes, there's a subtitle there.
Yeah. And subtitle.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool, you know, because he's been through so many trials and so many things in his life.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I know. But it's cool when you give God credit, you know.
Yes,
when when you arrive to a place of prominence, it's when you come to a place of stage, when you come to a place when the whole world, you know, is looking at you, you don't pound your chest and say, it was me, my hard work, or what I've done, but you give glory to the Lord. And that's what he's done. I mean, the book is very therapeutic because, you know, you just see just the trials of any ordinary man. But we had a chance to go see him at the Yogi Berra Stadium. You know, Yogi Berra lives close out here, one of the famous Yankee players of all time. And he was doing a book signing, and we had the chance. You know, my son, we happened to be in Philadelphia not too long ago, and we're standing outside of the Liberty Bell. And we're waiting to get on in, and my son happens to recognize another baseball player. And I'm saying, son, Elijah, it is hot out here. There's no way that this player is out here. Long story short, him and his mom walk up to the player, and it winds up being Bobby Parnell, pitcher for the New York Mets. And so he had to get a chance to get an autograph, and that was a pretty cool experience. And when he walked away, you know, I always like to talk about Christ and talk about the Lord and just let people know about the love of God. And when we left, I said, you know, we didn't even talk to Bobby about the Lord or anything. I says, you know, if we ever get a chance again to speak to someone on a baseball team or someone that maybe has prominence, then we're going to share with them the most important thing in our life. And so here we go, getting ready to see R.A. Dickey. And there was such a huge response to seeing him. I mean, people were showing up all over the place. They were sold out. And we decided that, you know, everyone's getting autographs. We wanted to bless R.A. Dickey with a ball that says iabide.org.
You know, I'm looking at it right now. I can see it. It's pretty cool. It's on the blog. It's on the VFN TV blog. It says, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, think about it. You know, he's a believer, and we wanted to bless him with the opportunity. Hey, listen, you know, this is awesome. You need to abide with the Lord, and I'm sure he is, but we wanted to encourage him with that. And so we walk up to him, introduce ourselves, and say, hey, R.A., we have this awesome ball we want to give you. We know that you're a believer, and I had a chance to encourage him and say, listen, you know, this is your season, this is your time, God's putting you on a platform, you know, share the gospel. And he said, thank you. He asked me to continue to pray for him, but I said, I want to give you this gift about abiding and spending time with the Lord. He looked at it. I believe his wife was sitting right next to him, and she was really surprised. She's like, oh my goodness, you know, I guess no one does that. And he said, wow, I'm definitely going to take a look at it. He was pretty touched by it. And so he was willing to take a picture with us. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you can spend time with the Lord and read his word and have the opportunity to hear God for yourself. That's one of the inheritance that the son and the daughter of God have, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, that there is no in-between, that there isn't anyone that has to stand between you and God. You know, think about it. You may never have access with some of the most powerful men and women of the world. You may never, ever get a chance to meet or talk, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you sit down and abide with God and read his word. And I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know where to start, you know, oftentimes people that they want to read the word of God, you know, but they don't know where to start. They don't know what plan, what to follow. Let me tell you, you can get a simple plan that gets you started at iabide.org. That's the letter I and the word abide, A-B-I-D-E.org. And you can just begin. It's a simple plan. But let me tell you, I encourage you to do it for 6 weeks. Make a commitment. Say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to hear God for myself. And I promise you, he'll speak back to you through his word.
Welcome back. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris, and we're talking about last words, final last words, the importance. And we're talking about how Joshua was giving instruction to the leaders, to the officials, as he was coming to the end of his ministry and of his life. I mean, you think about it, you spend all this time with people, you've been leading them, you've been teaching them, you've been showing them the way, and what do you do? You want to, this is your last words. You don't have time to rehash 30, 40 years, however many years, everything, but you want to leave them with what? The most important.
Mm-hmm.
The one takeaway. This is it. And he tells them two things. One, listen, God's done a whole lot in our midst, so don't take any credit for it, basically. He says, God has done this for you, which in turn helps you to, you know, embrace humility and recognize, listen, that God did this
mm-hmm.
in our midst. And the second thing he says, listen, do not let this book of the law. We didn't get here by accident. We got here because by the grace of God, we're able to obey God and his law, and we listened to him. He warns them about later on not to intermarry with different folks and, you know, nations and stuff. He says, keep everything pure, be right with God.
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't let this book of the law depart. And you think about what's happened to America, and have we let the book of the Lord, have we put the Bible aside? I mean, when George Barnes says that only 19% of the church is actually abiding and reading their Bible, that's 81% of the people that don't even read their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. That's huge. How can we be successful? How can we do what God's called us to do? How can we be in right relationship with God if we're not even reading his love letter? If we're not even reading his operational manual to life in him and in the kingdom? If it's not a treasured possession? I want to encourage you to honor the word of God in your life. Honor the Bible itself. Treat it reverently. You know, don't place your Bible just anywhere. I don't like no books being on top of my Bible or my Bible being on the floor. You know, it's just what I've been taught and what I've embraced in my own life and what I like to share with others. Because you want to respect God's holy word. And it's not just about the Bible, but it's about holding them, respecting them in our hearts. Because we're really good at holding stuff nicely and all that type of stuff. And you know, showing that we got a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We need to show that we have the Bible in our heart and that we're living it and that we are honoring it by our obedience. Mm-hmm. That's how we show God, you know, we love him.
Right.
All these songs are nice, you know, poems are beautiful. But you really want to show God that you love him. You really want to show him you love him. You obey him. You obey his word. And I think about Jesus as he's getting ready to leave and go back to the Father. I mean, Jesus was here for a period of time, Chris and Pat. I mean, it was a season.
Yeah.
I mean, he was here. Mm-hmm. He was on a mission to do the will of the Father. He had stuff to do. He taught. He preached for miracles. I mean, he did a lot during a period of time of his ministry here. Mm-hmm. But there was a time for Peter to go. There was a time. There was a transitional period. There was a season where Jesus' time was up.
Yeah.
And those he was with, he had to give them parting words. He had to give them, you know, help them on this transition.
Right.
You can only imagine what they were thinking. Like, what? This is not working out right. I mean, He was talking about the kingdom of God is at hand. They're talking about him going on a cross. This is, I mean, what is going? You can only imagine what was going through their heads.
Mm-hmm.
You can only imagine. How are you leaving?
Right.
Are you kidding
you
me?
You just got here.
You just got here. I mean, we were hanging with Jesus. Where That's are you right. going to go now? What, I mean, what? You can't mess this up now. We're going back to the Father. What?
Mm-hmm.
You can only imagine. But he was.
Yeah.
And then he begins to tell them, listen, he talks about it in John 16. Listen, but I tell you the truth, he says, it is for your good that I'm going away. It is for your good. And they're thinking, right, are these the nice things that people say when it's time to say goodbye? You know what I'm saying? Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Think about this. Jesus was leaving. He had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. And would Peter be Peter today if Jesus was still around? You know, Peter had to go through a period where he had to rely on the Holy Ghost. They all did.
That's right.
I mean, they all had to wait for Pentecost, and they're waiting in the upper room just like Jesus instructed them. Because there was another, you know, God's writing the script. God's writing the script, and so many times we can get caught up in the script and we don't like what's happening. There's a season in our life that's changing. Something's happening, you know, and we're like, I did not plan for this. This was not part of my 5-year plan, my 10-year plan. What's going on? You got to understand that we are just characters. I know you've been told, maybe you've been told you're a character in life, but you are. You are a character in God's screenplay. He is penning out a beautiful, beautiful story, and he has allowed each and every single one of us to play a part. However, we don't know sometimes what part we're going to play. Things change, environments change, people come, people go, things move all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's sad is when we try to go against what the writer's trying to do, because we're stuck on the last scene.
Right.
This last chapter was so good. Why does it have to end this way? He's not done writing it yet. He's writing. And you can camp on what happened yesterday, or you can prepare yourself for what's God doing at the moment and what God's going to do in the future. But you got to be ready. Ready for what? Ready to move with God. Ready to be moldable and just soft and just following in obedience to whatever God is doing and not be stuck in a way. I mean, if the folks and the leaders were stuck with Joshua or they were stuck with Moses, we can't follow Joshua. Moses brought us here. They would never experience what happened under Joshua's leadership.
That's right.
They never would have taken and possessed the land. But I thought Moses, I mean, he got us out of Egypt. He was going to take us all the way. This is what we've been talking about all this time.
Mm-hmm.
This is all we've been doing. And all of a sudden, Moses, you're not going to get us in. I mean, we went 99 yards and you're not going to get us in the end zone?
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah, that's true.
We're not writing the story. God is. And we just want to be good characters in the story. And so Jesus is telling them, listen, I got to go. I have to go. But listen, I'm with you always. Mm-hmm. Always to the end of the age.
That's right.
And I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And if you connect those two, Joshua's saying, listen, you need to meditate on the law, the book of the Lord. You need to meditate on God's word. And you connect relying on the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. That is a good recipe. That is a good recipe to be prepared for whatever God has in store for you. This life that we have as Christians, as believers, it is such a wonderful and exciting journey. And listen, you can acquire so many things in this world. I mean, just living in America, go through a couple of yard sales. Go look in your closet. Look at the stuff that you have. Of all the things that you can possess in your life, because one day you could have absolutely nothing. And we shared about how life is fragile on VFN Radio and how we need to have compassion. We talked about those living in Slab City in California and how things can happen at any moment where you can lose it all. Listen, your greatest possessions in life are not the stuff and the things that you have plugged into your walls at home or the things you sit on or the things you ride on every day, your vehicles. The greatest possession that you have in life is your relationship with God. It's His Word and His precious Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will continue to reveal. His job is to reveal, to open Jesus up to you, to make known to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the one that ushers you into the things of Jesus, the things of God. Listen, you don't have any problems. You don't have any situations. You don't have anything to be discouraged about. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, take those parting words.
Mm-hmm.
Take those last words to heart and take them for yourself and say, listen, I'm going to meditate on God's word. I'm going to meditate on God's word, and I'm going to trust in the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to let the word of God depart from my mouth.
Right.
But I'm going to meditate on it day and night, day and night. And I'm going to learn to have an abiding relationship with Jesus, and I'm going to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and get out of His way. God is writing a story. Don't mess the story up. All you need is God's word, and all you need is the Holy Spirit, and stay plugged in the vine and abide with God, and God will see you all the way through.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know. What happened during that week? So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget, or we want to share with our friends Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com.